the story from, I guess this happened yesterday. I don't know if this was while you were on the air or not, with Bob Bowlsby contacting the Associated Press and relaying the fact that he sent out a cease and desist letter to one of his TV partners, ESPN, because he had absolute proof, absolute certainty, his words, that the ESPN was facilitating the American Athletic Conference in incorporating some of the Big 12 teams. His reasoning was that ESPN wanted the Big 12 to break up earlier so that they could go and get some football games with OU and Texas next year. I wanted to get your thoughts on this story, how big of a deal this is, or is this just something that would go on in the background of any year with a TV network negotiating with other schools and saying, hey, if you brought in two here or if this looks like this, then your deal might be better.
The last acts of a very boring and desperate man, Bob Bowlsby. I mean, what is his proof? If he has proof, say, from a certain school, I don't think any of these schools remaining are in a hurry to align with the Big 12. I think everybody's looking for a better deal. And if the American is going to choose a few schools and maybe not some, I don't think you want to ruin your opportunity to go do that. So, I think clearly that's he's doesn't have much bargaining power. Again, because if the Big 12 had a Big 12 network and some other things to offer a lot of these schools, then I think that they'd be in a lot better shape. But I don't think ESPN is the people to be picking a fight with.
No, that's what was confusing to me, in that he would have to have something on hand, and I don't know if it came from one of the eight remaining schools saying, hey, by the way, ESPN floated this to the American about us joining or something like that. They would have had to have heard that secondhand from one of the schools in the American. So maybe that's where it's coming from. What do you think about this tactic from ESPN? Obviously, what's driving that is so that they can go and get OU versus Alabama or Texas versus A&M and some of these games sooner rather than later. But going about that by having the American, and they might have talked to other leagues too, but the American incorporate some of these schools.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that maybe geographically it makes a better fit and it strengthens the American Conference, somewhat. It does give ESPN a better property there.
Yeah.
They share
12-year, $1 billion deal already that they signed a couple of years ago with the American. So that pales in comparison to the other leagues, but it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And again, they share the Pac-12 rights with Fox. So I don't know if that's a way to kind of get some leverage there. I think all of these schools absolutely should understand that there's been a lack of leadership at the top of the Big 12 for well over a decade. It's been a long time now. There's not great leadership in the Pac-12. It's just changed. Larry Scott is out as the commissioner. But I do think that there's more positives for Oklahoma State to take a couple of teams from Texas and try to get into a pod system out there in the Pac-12.
But yeah.
We'll see. I mean, that's the move I would be making, because I think the American would work a lot better if you could split it up into, East and West, right? I mean, you have Temple, East Carolina, South Florida, UCF, some of those schools that really don't make geographic sense with some of the schools in Texas. So if you throw SMU, Tulsa, Oklahoma State, Houston, Texas Tech, some of those schools together, it would be a pretty good regional conference. But, man, at the end of the day, when you wake up and that's the deal you've got, if you're Oklahoma State, you've taken this massive step back in terms of competition.
Right.
That's a tough pill to swallow.
What's it going to take for the thing to dissolve? If we heard tomorrow that West Virginia has announced a deal or a plan to join the ACC, would that be it? Would that set off a free-for-all? Then under no circumstances would the Big 12 continue? Or do you still think it's possible that they could bring in three or merge with another conference? Or would that set off? I know you think this deal's done already and the thing's dead, but would that be the official last straw that would set off the land run?
I think so. Matter of fact, I think Walt Disney's more alive than the Big 12 right now. No. I mean, all they got to do is defrost him. I mean, he might be able to come back from the cryo chamber. But I see the reasoning why ESPN would try to be directing schools to the American, because they're already under contract and the Big 12 isn't. And like you said, hey, let's go. 2022, the SEC, put Oklahoma in there. That's what they want, Oklahoma, Texas, to start playing those games right away. And I think that they're also trying to keep Texas and Oklahoma from having to pay rights fees. If the Longhorn, the buyout on the Longhorn Network would, I think, be a lot less from ESPN if the Texas didn't have to pay a grant of rights back to the Big 12. So, it all makes sense. I mean, I think that these are cease and desist. I don't know. You know, when everybody decides to leave, it's not going to matter anymore. You know what happened to the Big 12. Isn't it shocking that, you know, we're there at Big 12 Media Days.
Yeah.
And Bob Bowlesby, I mean, he took the mic, really, really boring commentary, and just uttered these words: "I don't lose sleep over conference realignment." I mean, how? I just don't. It really, again, and I'm not saying Bob Bowlesby's the world's worst person, but I think he's been fairly oblivious to what's going on when those TV rights. They had no interest in discussing that. That should have been the sign.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody put something in my drink.
Should have been some fire there.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
When this happens, as unlikely as it is with that deal, I just want to use this as an example with the Americans deal that they signed in 2019, because I just said it. Now we know the terms for 12 years, $1 billion. If whoever it is, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, don't care. If the American incorporated a couple of teams, the Pac-12 incorporated a couple of teams, would you then be obliged at that point? You would have to renegotiate? Or would those teams just eat up an extra part of the pie for however long that deal goes on?
Yeah, I think they would renegotiate. I think that they would probably be able to add, you know, come to the table and say, we're going to add a little bit more money.
Okay.
And they come up with some ideas. Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, when you have but I think the economy is already set on what, you know, what those rights fees are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas what, $3 billion to the SEC for the first choice, not all of the conference games, just for the first choice of conference games. For 10 years and 12 years in the American Athletic Conference is worth $1.2 billion, is what you said, or $1 billion, what did you say?
Yeah, $1 billion,
yeah. Yeah, that's worth 33% the entire TV deal. That's what you're talking about, again, here, if you're an Oklahoma State fan. You're looking at a reduction of a significant amount of revenue coming in from television.
Yep.
That's a problem.
Two-thirds, which you really, really depend on for your entire budget and your athletic budget. Helps, you know, kind of helps feed into that too. I heard the tail end of you with Gottlieb the other day, and I know you had a passionate discussion. You were disagreeing on a couple of things. Can you fill me in what his perspective was on some of the things that were going on that probably come from the OSU side, I would imagine.
Well, I don't know what's going on with Doug, man. He has really pressed the polarized meter to another level, because I saw a post today on social media where he was coming after Simone Biles. That one's not going to go over very well with everybody. I think he just got kind of caught up in a moment of patriotism, in that, you know, being upset. I get it. I mean, I would be upset too. I defended the president at Oklahoma State for being upset. I understand. I don't think that she was accurate in what she was saying. I don't think Doug was accurate in what he was saying. I think that anybody would have jumped at this deal. You know, Barry's had a column on this. I thought was excellent. That it's you got to have self-preservation. You have to look out for yourself and what your best interest is, and as big as Oklahoma football is, you want to get to a place where you're dealing with some, you know, programs that have equal earnings capacity. And I, you know, I said this before. I think one thing that Oklahoma State also, if you're in the administration, you have to consider is that Oklahoma could have left the league with Texas A&M. You know, they could have gone to the SEC with A&M instead of Missouri, and they just didn't pull the trigger. And I think David Bourne did it for a multitude of reasons, one of which might have been an allegiance to Oklahoma State. I think some of it was also an allegiance to Texas. But they didn't go that time. And you don't know how many opportunities are going to come around. And the SEC, I think, has even strengthened its position since then, Gideon. So I don't think they had much of a choice when it came to the amount of money that they're going to be earning to turn it down again.
Yeah, money has swayed a lot of different opinions, moved teams and people in a different direction here, because we assumed that when the SEC held their vote that A&M was going to be a standout, a lone vote against this happening, and the A&M Board of Regents voted 8-1 on Wednesday to direct their president to vote in favor of extending invitations to Oklahoma and Texas to join the SEC. Didn't want to be viewed as the only one out, and just practicality rules over everything. They want that extra money, too.
Yeah, somebody gave him a spreadsheet real fast, and then somebody else said, "Hey, wait a minute, Texas isn't very good. What are we so worried about them now? You know, we've got a head start. Let's just beat them on the field."
Let me ask you about that, because this is a byproduct that's not nearly as important as financial matters that have dictated everything that has happened here. But what do you think about Texas competitively in the Southeastern Conference?
I think, man. I mean, their basketball team might be preseason number one. Mm-hmm. So I think that you know, if anyone cares there, they'll be good. I think they're good in baseball. I think football-wise, if it's going to help Oklahoma in recruiting to be in the SEC, it's going to help Texas recruiting to be in the SEC. And really, to me, the biggest determinant of football success is who's your head coach. I think Texas might have a pretty good one. It worried me a little bit when we were talking to Brian Davis that Sark is kind of he's been kind of quiet and all these things, and he's got a tough schedule at the beginning of the season that he needs to try to get off to a pretty good start. You don't want to get off on the wrong foot there, but I think he's a pretty competent coach. I think he's got a pretty good staff, and so if he can get going, early, then that helps. But man, I mean, just think of it this way: if you do go to that pod system or whatever it is, it's kind of Oklahoma or Texas winning it every year, unless Arkansas or Missouri would pop up and have a really, really good season. Mm-hmm. So that puts a lot of pressure. Not only do you have to get out of that that foursome, but then you're going to have some success, I think, at the rest of the league level. So it's going to be tough on both schools.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.